Warden Full Gospel Assembly, and we're so glad that you have joined us today. It's always great when people join us from wherever you are. Some people are at cottages, various camps, some are in their bedroom watching, some are in the kitchen, living room, wherever you are at, welcome to another service online. If you are counting, this is week number 19. If you can believe it. 19 weeks that we have had online services, and I can't wait for the day when we gather again together. Now, if Mrs. Crystal Cautius is watching, we want to welcome you especially. She had heart surgery this past week, and I hope and pray that you are recovering well. We're all praying for a speedy recovery, but welcome once again to our services. I want to talk to you this morning about a very important topic, I think, especially in light of where we are in life right now, dealing with a pandemic. But we all need personal peace. When we go through situations that are sometimes uncomfortable, unsettling, where we don't really know what is happening, and there's so much confusion about, and so many voices, and so many ideas being presented, we need to come to a place where we find security and peace. And so this morning, I want to talk about that particular topic. You can go on websites and you can read bloggers, and there are dietitians and politicians, just numerous people. And they all think that they have a key to giving people peace or allowing people to experience peace of mind. There are companies that provide and even sell peace. Peace of mind products sell survival food. Peace of mind funeral services. Peace of mind crystals and candles and body soaps. There's even a company, a home inspection company called Peace of Mind, that takes the guesswork out of buying a house. There's peace of mind plumbing insurance to ensure that your toilet never stops working. There's peace of mind childcare, peace of mind couriers. When you Google peace of mind, there are all kinds of information that comes up on the internet regarding peace of mind. 15 things that you can start doing today to bring peace into your life. Slow down. Unclutter your world. Be 10 minutes early. Find relaxation, some relaxation technique, etc., etc., etc. All kinds of ideas about how to find peace. Now, wouldn't that be great in your life and in my life if we could discover peace and if it were that easy to discover? Having peace is such an important concept in life that people will almost do anything in life to find it. People go to exotic places at great expense, hoping to find peace. People take all kinds of and sniff all kinds of brain, mind-altering drugs in order to have some kind of peace. People experiment with all kinds of new age spiritual rituals, hoping and believing that there is some kind of peace associated with that. Unfortunately, in spite of all these many avenues that are available to generate opportunities for peace, the truth is, very few people are at peace with themselves. Most people still continue to carry a high level of stress, anxiety, tension within their lives. And through the many years of pastoral ministry that I've been engaged in, I have noticed that there are three general sources that rob our peace. The first general source that robs our peace is an uncontrollable circumstances. If there's anything that COVID-19, this pandemic, has caused in our lives, it has caused us to realize that there is much uncertainty in life. This pandemic has upset our lives. We were going along beautifully, and we were going along with not much too much care, and all of a sudden everything got thrown out of kilter. As you know, and probably have discovered, much of life is beyond our control. Traffic jams are beyond our control. Delays at airports are beyond our control. The slow mail is beyond our control. I know of couples who have waited years and years and years to have a baby, and it just doesn't happen. It's when things like this happen in life, frustration begins to increase in our life, and as a result, we lose our peace of mind. A second thing that robs our peace of mind is when people are unchangeable. Toxic people will cause you to lose your peace. Toxic people will naturally resist change, and they won't have honest discussions with you. They resent it when you are trying to get through to them and about how they are perhaps hurting you. Toxic people will cause you to have trouble sleeping at night, concentrating during the day. When they are constantly on your mind and they're constantly thought patterns about this person where you can't figure out what is taking place in your life and you're feeling ashamed and shamed, it's robbing you of peace. So people can rob you of peace. And a third source that can rob you of peace is when problems are unexplainable. I would think you that most of us know this. I think all of us know that life is not depicted as it is many times in movies or in sitcoms. You can't solve problems within 20 minutes. And not every couple rides off into the sunset where they live happily ever after. What makes life most difficult for us is when we can't answer the question, why? Why don't things happen the way I had planned it? Why is this happening to me? And when we can't explain what is happening around us, frustration, anger, resentment, envy, all these emotions arise within us, and in the process of facing these problems and dealing with these emotions, it causes us to lose peace. Now, when you read the New Testament portion of the Bible, what you notice very quickly is that the greeting that happened between believers was often the words grace and peace. It was a distinct recognition among those early believers that God wants us to live peaceful lives. And so they would greet one another with that word peace. In fact, at least three times in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, Jesus himself said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. When you read in John chapter 14, verse 27, here are the words of Jesus. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Notice this. Jesus is leaving us a gift. He is offering to us a gift, peace of mind and heart. It's not something that you work for. It's not something that you and I deserve. It's not something we even have to beg for. Jesus is giving us, and you can have this incredible gift. He's leaving us with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you, the word goes on to say, is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Now immediately, as you are reading and seeing these words, you're probably thinking to yourself, okay, great. Then why don't I have peace? Why am I living life and going through life and I feel like I don't have peace? What is happening in my life or what's transpiring in my life where I don't feel and sense this peace? So today I just want to give us some steps, some ideas, some thoughts where we can discover and walk in the peace, this gift of peace that Jesus wants to give all of us. Right up in front, let me tell you this, that peace has nothing to do with problem-free living. Peace of mind does not come from conflict-free living. Yet when you face issues, and when you experience troubles, or when you are in the midst of hardship, when you are in the throes of a pandemic, or you're experiencing conflict, in the midst of whatever you are experiencing in life, you can have peace of mind. So peace has nothing to do with problem-free living. It's when we are in the midst of problems and trouble, we can have peace. So here are three choices that you can make in order to have peace. The first is accept what you cannot change. Accept what cannot be changed in your life. Worry will not provide peace situations that you cannot change. Bitterness will not provide peace situations that you cannot change. Resentfulness will not provide peace in situations that you cannot change. Guilt will not provide peace in situations that you cannot change. Self-pity will not provide peace in situations that you cannot change. The only thing that can bring about peace in your life and in my life is acceptance. Notice what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Not that I ever was in need, the Apostle Paul writes, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret to living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now, I want you to notice something in these verses of Philippians chapter 4. Notice that acceptance is a learned experience. Did you read the words? For I have learned. I have learned how to be content. In other words, that is a choice. And it's possible to make that choice and to have this supernatural power of Christ in your life. Now, let me say this. No one can ever experience true contented peace in their lives without first acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the Lord of their life. There has to be a relationship with the Lord. Without a relationship with Christ, you cannot have true peace in your life. That's the beginning point. That's the foundation strength. So the Apostle Paul is saying, I can learn to be content. I can learn to make this choice of having peace in my life, but I also understand that I can do this. I can do this choice. I can make this choice through Christ who gives me that strength. The one thing that keeps you from having peace in your circumstances, what keeps you from being tense and nervous and stressed out about the stuff in your life, the things that would cause us to not have this peace in our circumstance is that we would demand an explanation. Now, can I just share with you that when you allow things to ruminate in your mind, when you go over things in your mind day after day, and things are happening and you're thinking about those kinds of things and there's turmoil going on in your mind, let me remind you of a couple of things that will help you deal with this rumination of stuff that so consumes your mind and so robs you of the peace that God wants you to have in your life. This is the one thing that keeps you from having peace, and that is this demand for an explanation as to why you can't have peace. But can I remind you that God doesn't owe you an explanation? Notice what it says in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. It says, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one. Now underline that, underscore that, keep it in your mind, keep it in your memory. God has secrets known to no one. In other words, he is not obligated to explain. He is not obligated to explain the things that are happening to us. He simply wants us to trust him. There's a trust factor involved in this verse. There's a trust factor where you simply trust God that he is a good God, that God is fair, that God is just, that he's a loving God, that he cares about you, that he understands things that you don't understand. So our God has secrets not revealed to any of us, known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for the things that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. The second thing we need to be reminded of as we talk about this choice issue, number one, where and we demand an explanation, is that secondly, that even if God does explain things in your life or reveals things in your life, notice what it says, that God, that when he does explain things, that you probably wouldn't understand it. Notice what Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So even if God reveals something, and even if God chooses to expand your understanding, even if he did explain things in your life, you probably wouldn't understand completely everything that is happening in your life, because there are forces and situations that cause us not to understand. But what brings peace into our life is God's comfort. God's comfort to know that he is with us and for us and not against us. Remember when you were in school and you're taking a test, the teacher is always silent. And so in the midst of our difficulty, you feel that God doesn't care. What he wants us to do is to accept our present situation and trust in him that he has our best interests at heart. I love the words of the Serenity Prayer. The Serenity Prayer says something like this. And can I just ask you, as you see it there on the screen, and as I say the words, why don't you repeat these words with me? Listen to these words. It says, "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." Now, here's the second choice. Here's the second choice you have. The second choice is that you need to trust in God's loving care. Trust in God's loving care. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." I don't know if you still remember, but there was a playground item that I enjoyed when I was a child growing up. It was a merry-go-round that this playground you would get on it and you would spin on it, you would grab the handle and then run and make it go fast, and then as it would go faster with the more people running on the outside, you would hang on to the bars and you would kind of swing, and the centrifugal force and the G-forces against you would just be great as you're hanging on with all of your life. And I remember as a kid relishing the thrill of hanging on to the bar and hanging out beyond the platform and experiencing the max amount of G-forces against your body. But I also recall that as the forces were great and as you got tired and as you didn't want to feel the centrifugal forces upon your body, the only way that you could not experience that is to move slowly toward the center pole. And the closer you got to the center of this merry-go-round, the more stability you enjoyed. Now, that's a very important principle for us to understand. The more difficult and perhaps even the more frustrating life becomes, and maybe even the faster your life goes, the more focused you must be on the center, if you are going to survive and thrive. What is the center of your life? It's not your career. It's not the amount of money you have in your bank account. It's not the score of your golf game. It's not your favorite hockey or basketball team. God has to be the center of your life. And when we forget that God, as Christians, if God is not the center of life, and we forget that, as sometimes we often do, we neglect that and we forget that, during the times where things are frustrating, we need to hone in and move toward that center. Because if we don't, life becomes a life where we seem to be just hanging on for dear life, never able to catch our breath. Everything is around us is spinning, and we're trying to realign our activities. We're trying to find security. We're trying to do whatever we can to bring semblance to some kind of disorder in our life. But the only way that we can find peace is to center in and draw closer to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take." Now, as I mentioned earlier, you will never live a problem-free life. There is no such thing in life as problem-free life, because there will always be something. You know this statement. You've probably said this statement many, many times in your life. If it isn't one thing, it's... Maybe you can put that into the chat. What is the conclusion of that statement? If it isn't one thing, it's... Why don't you share it on the chat right now? Conclude that statement. If it isn't one thing, it's... You see, there are lists of problems that you may be experiencing right now. Here's problem number one. Here's problem number two. Here's problem number three. Here's problem number four. The moment that you knock off problem one, problem number two is promoted. And when you've knocked off that problem, the next problem moves up to problem number one. In other words, we never go through life problem-free. There is a word that describes this series of problems that you experience in life, that you and I experience in life. That word is life. L-I-F-E. Life is filled with problems. And you will never have peace if you don't learn to live in peace in the middle of problems. Now, you may be asking, why does this happen? Why is life just a series of problems, one after another? Pastor, you don't know what I am going through. Man, my life has been nothing but one problem after another problem after another problem. Can I give you some reasons as to why life is filled with problems? Number one simply is the fact that we live in a fallen and sinful world. Secondly, Satan is our enemy. He tries to usurp. He tries to devour. He tries to create dissension. There is havoc. His goal and purpose is to bring destruction into your life, into your mind, into your families, into your health, into your finances. So not only do we live in a fallen, sinful world, we have an adversary against us who is trying to create this havoc in our life. And thirdly, we've got to take some responsibility as well, because we make mistakes. I make mistakes. And the pain and the most pain and the most problems happen in my life because I made stupid decisions in my life. So regardless of why there is problem, whether they're unsolvable, uncontrollable, and unchangeable. Regardless of the source of whatever I am facing in life, the response must always be in me that I must come to a place where I center in on God's loving care. Notice what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience, underline this, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And here's our third choice that you and I can make. Surrender to God's control. Surrender to God's control. Often during situations where life seems out of control, one of the things that we do as people is we try to become more controlling. It's almost a compulsion in us where we have this mindset, I've got to make this thing work. I can do this attitude. Nobody's going to stop me. I'm just going to bear down. I'm going to cause strength to rise up within me, and I'm going to focus on making this happy. The unfortunate thing is, the more that we try to wrestle control of our life towards us, the more unhappy you become, and the greater the tendency toward despair and despondency arises. We need to learn how to surrender to God's control. In other words, every single morning that you get up in the morning, you and I have a decision to make. Who is going to be in charge of your life? Who is going to be in charge of your life? Is it going to be me? Or is it going to be God? Am I going to wrestle control and make the decisions I need to make today in order to fix things in my life? Or am I going to allow God to dictate control in my life? Listen, the moment you decide that you want to control your life, the more out of control your life becomes. The Bible says it very clearly that when I make decisions and when I try to play God, the Bible makes very clear what happens when those decisions take place. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 6 and 7. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never obeys God's laws, and it never will. You see, my friends, when you and I try to wrestle control and be in control of our life, and we argue with God, and we stand against God, you're always going to lose. To disregard and not seek and pursue the wisdom of God will never lead to peace in your life. Muhammad Ali often stated when he was in the prime of his career that he was the greatest. In fact, that was the slogan of his life. I am the greatest. And he would travel the nations, travel the world, and he would declare, I am the greatest. I am the greatest person. I am the greatest boxer. I am the greatest. And he would pronounce that everywhere he went. And I don't know if you remember, but in 1996, at the Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia, just a few years ago, he was asked to light the Olympic torch. And I don't know if you remember watching as he held the torch, his body ravaged with Parkinson's disease. He was shaking uncontrollably, and the torch that he was holding was in his hands, and he could barely lift it up, had barely enough strength to get it to the cauldron to light the Olympic flame. It was a painful experience to watch. In an interview after that moment, Muhammad Ali said these words as he was referring to Parkinson's disease. He said, "God gave me this disease so that I would remember that I am not the greatest. He is." Sometimes God puts limitations on my life and upon your life to cause us to come to a place where we depend upon Him more, where we acknowledge that He is trustworthy, where we are forced to our knees in order to show that He is in control, that it is best for me when I submit to Him. Can I submit this to you? That if you want to have deep, personal, satisfying peace in your mind, that you need to have a peace in your heart and soul, you've got to come to a place in your life where you absolutely surrender control of your life, totally give it over to God. You know how that is done? The evidence of a completely surrendered life is always obedience. Notice what it says in Psalm 119, verse 165. It says, "Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble." I came across a writing of Eugene Peterson in his book entitled Eat This Book, found on page 70, where he describes that at the age of 35, he bought running shoes and began to embrace long-distance running. And pretty soon, he was competing in 10K races every month or so, and once a year, he would do a marathon. And while he took up this athletic endeavor, running, he began and subscribed to reading running magazines. He says, I subscribed to 3 running magazines, but one day I pulled a muscle and I couldn't run for several months. Those magazines kept coming into my house and they were placed all over my house. But he says, when I didn't run, I didn't open one of them. The moment, however, that I resumed running, I started reading those running magazines. And then he says, that's when I realized that my reading was an extension of something I was a part of. I was reading these magazines for companionship and affirmation of the experience of running. And I learned a few things along the way. But mostly it was to deepen my understanding and my world of running. If I wasn't running, there was nothing to deepen. And then he made this clarion call to all of us. He said, this is a parallel to me reading scriptures. There is a significant parallel between running and reading scripture that is absolutely striking. He says, if I am not living in active response to the living God, reading about His creation, His salvation, His holiness, it won't hold any interest for me for very long. The most important question isn't, what does this mean, but what can I obey? Simple obedience will open up our lives to a text more quickly than any number of Bible studies, dictionaries, and concordances. What is the result of being in control of my life and not allowing God to be in charge? There's worry and bitterness and stress, anxiety, fear, guilt, resentment, depression, fatigue, despair. And many of you watching today, you understand and know and are very familiar with these emotions. But when I put God and I surrender to His control, when I have the peace of God that resides in my heart and in my mind and in my soul, and I allow Him to control my life, not only is there peace, but there is strength, there is power, there is wisdom, There is knowledge of eternal life. There is significance. There is meaning, contentment, joy, purpose, love, patience, gentleness. So the choice is ours. The choices that we make towards peace are completely and totally up to us. Accept what I cannot change. Trust in God's loving care. Surrender to God's control. You know, most people get upset at God for a variety of reasons. I've met people, and maybe you have too, you have met people who are very upset at God. Their plans didn't turn out the way they thought they would turn out. Perhaps a loved one passed on before they thought they should die. People are disappointed that a promotion didn't happen. They're upset at God because of financial upheaval in their life. But listen to me. The essence of hope, of healing, of health in your heart has to begin where you surrender to God and allow His peace to govern your life. Nothing bad has happened in your life that God could not have prevented if He wanted to. You may ask, why didn't He intervene? Why didn't He step into a particular situation? The only way that I can answer that question is, I don't know. I don't know why God chose that particular direction for your life. I don't know. But I do know this. That I live in a fallen world. And I know that God has a greater purpose in my life than the problems that I face. I do know this, that God is more interested in developing my character than my comfort. And I know that God knows how much I can handle in life. And He will not take me through situations more than I can bear. I do know that. I also know that where I am living right now is not heaven. I know right now that this earth, if you even think this earth is going to be problem-free, listen, heaven is the ultimate place that all of us need to strive for. Heaven is the place where we will experience complete and total deliverance from pain. And I know that while I am on this earth, I am not living in heaven. And yet in living this life, here's what I know, that God loves me deeply and that God loves you deeply. Here is what I know, is that He wants us to trust in Him 100%, complete and total trust in Him. And the only way that we move into a level of peace is to truly accept these choices and make them a part of our life. Increasing our peace is based on accepting what we cannot change. And yet in the midst of living life, to trust in God's loving care over you. And every single day, surrendering to God's control. Those are the choices that you and I have to make. And when we make this choice, we will walk and live and have a serenity about us where we know God is in complete and total control, and He will lead you through. And He will lead us through this pandemic. He will lead us through whatever situation you're dealing with. He will lead you through whatever circumstance that is unpleasant in your life right now. He will lead you through. Accept what cannot be changed. Trust in God's loving care and surrender to God's control in your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning and we ask that You would just envelop all of us, wherever we are watching this program right now, may we experience Your peace, a peace that passes all understanding. May it envelop us. May we know and trust You that You will handle whatever we are going through in life. Father, let us just breathe in right now the presence of your Holy Spirit. Let us just breathe in the presence of your Holy Spirit and assure us, O God, that everything will be okay. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. See you next week. Have a great week. Amen.